You are a minister. If you're a believer in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a minister of the gospel. And you may say, well, I haven't studied theology, I haven't studied the Bible. You know, you don't have to. To be a minister, you don't have to have had any formal qualification. Formal qualifications don't come into it. Many examples in the New Testament of people who didn't have formal education, but they were ministers of the gospel. And so every believer, the New Testament teaches over and over, is a minister. It's very clear, isn't it? And so we're called to be ministers. God has a purpose for your life. And that purpose is to further the kingdom, to further his kingdom. So you can be a minister in a place that I can't be a minister in. And you're the only one in that environment that can be a minister to those people. So it's you, you're the minister. So now, when we recognize that we are ministers of the gospel, when we recognize that we've been saved with a purpose to further the kingdom, and we say, right, I'm going to be a minister of the gospel. That's my calling. That's my purpose in my life. The most important thing that's ever happened to us, when we recognize that and we say, right, I'm now going to live in that. I want to be the best that I can be. I want to serve him, and I want what he wants for my life. You know, it says in Ephesians that God has prepared good works that we should walk in them. He's prepared those works in advance that we should walk in them. So how do we do that? Well, we yield to him. As his ministers, we just yield, and he will lead us. So it's yielding to the call of God. And to be effective and fulfill God's purpose for our ministry, we need to get on the road to excellence. Excellence is the vital component for our lives. Now, excellence is something that the world knows very little about in general terms. But the world does show excellence in some ways. You know, I like it when I buy a car. We bought this car. I like the car that we've got. It's a car that it's just made with excellence. There's really, it's been made well. It's got excellence. And many things in life have excellence, don't they, really? And it's quite something that when we look at, say, a good product that you've bought or something, it just works so well. There's an excellence about it. Well, God has designed us for excellence. He's not designed us to be sloppy. He's designed us for excellence. And so we have to yield ourselves to this excellence. Now, in order to do that, we have to go against the flesh. The flesh wants to take us on a sloppy road. The flesh wants to take us on a road of compromise, sloppiness, and laziness. Okay? And that takes us to a destination of frustration. So if you want to be frustrated in life, then just go along that road. Go along the road of the flesh. Be lazy. Do things in a sloppy way, and you'll be frustrated, and that'll be the theme of your life, so to speak. People live like that. They live in frustration. They live in it so long, they get used to that frustration. And they just think that that's normal life. It's not normal life. Living frustrated isn't normal. We've been called for excellence, and we've been called to be his ambassadors on planet Earth. We've been called to make a difference into other people's lives. And so this is something that we should demand from ourselves, excellence. The root of the word excellence is to excel. It means to rise to the highest place or to pass in accomplishments or achievement. I think we need to adjust the microphone a little bit. It's just making that echoey sound, isn't it? Maybe we need to pull it down in volume a little bit, possibly. I've got a big voice. Everyone can hear me. You know, if I need to speak up, I'll speak up. But we don't want that. I don't want that tinny echo all the time. So in ministry, A spirit of excellence is a desire to reach toward God rather than to get something from God. So what we're doing is we're saying, right, I want to reach to God. I want God's best. I want to receive. I want to believe from God. And I'm pursuing that. A lot of the time when people come to church, for example, it's about how much I can get from God. I want to receive from you. Well, that's good that we receive, but also we need to be reaching for God's best in our lives and taking that which we've received and using it then towards excellence. So step number one, we have six steps. Step number one, be dedicated to excellence in ministry. A ministry of excellence is a ministry that doesn't plan to fail. So whatever we've been called to, at whatever office we might hold, whatever our role is in the body, and it doesn't need to be an official office, it can just be a believer, because in just being a believer, that's an office that we hold in the kingdom. And he's not going to revoke that assignment to us. We're responsible for how we handle our calling. And to do that, we must be dedicated to excellence in every area of our lives, dedicated to that success for that work that God's called us to. You say, well, I mean, what does that look like? Well, it's a quality decision. That's what it is, really. It's a no turning back. It's a forever commitment to God. It's saying to God that I'm going to fulfill my calling, and I make a decision to fulfill and be the best Christian that I can be. And up until the point that we make that decision, you know, Christianity is something that can, it affects us, it has an influence over us, but it's not the major pursuit of people's lives sometimes. And it's because they've not really committed to that. They've not committed to saying, right, God has a plan for my life. He's got a purpose for my life. And I'm going to be totally committed to that as my number one goal. So you may recall last week I was saying, for example, that Micah, who I love very much, my darling wife, is not number one in my life. God's number one. And because God is number one, I can have things in order. He's number one. And then I can love my wife as I ought to love my wife. But it's because I've got things in the right order and I've made a commitment to that. Now, when it comes to our life as believers, God is saying to us, look, you've been saved with a purpose. I've called you with a purpose. There's gifts in you. I've got a plan for your life. You have been made with gifts and a specific call. And I'm wanting you to use those gifts towards that call. But it doesn't happen until we reach a point where we're saying, I'm going to pursue the plan of God for my life. I'm going to pursue it. See, it's a definite decision that we make. It's a decision of quality and strength to do that thing that God has called us to do. We have to decide to do that specifically. So, for example, if you are called to, let's say, play an instrument in the worship team, well, you may have been playing an instrument casually in worship, perhaps in your own life, or you may have been just playing an instrument, but now that you're part of the worship team, you say, well, okay, because I'm going to be worshiping God here, and I'm going to be helping other people to worship God, I'm going to do this with an excellence that otherwise I wouldn't have done this with. I'm going to pursue this ministry with excellence. This is something that I wouldn't have done before, but now I'm doing it for the highest purpose on planet Earth, the ministry of God. God has called me to minister. And because of this, this is something that I'm going to pursue with every bit of fiber in me. It's a decision that we've got to make to be excellent about the things of God. Let's say it's these notes that we hand out this morning. I put these together myself. Well, I mean, it's not much, but I wanted it to be done with excellence. So I had to figure out on the computer, you know, how much of a gap I need to have in the middle there so that it looks balanced. And now, it's very simple for most of you, probably. For me, it took a little bit more work. But why do you make so much effort about the gap where there's no words, there's no writing, there's nothing there? Well, why do you do that? Because I want excellence. I want to do it the right way. I'm not going to be satisfied with doing it the wrong way. You know, I don't want the wrong thing. I bet no one's going to notice. The words will still be on the page. Yeah, but I'll notice. And I'll know that I haven't done it with excellence. I've done a bit of a sloppy job. You see? And people are used to living sloppy lives. Well, you didn't. You don't expect sloppiness from Jesus, do you? So then why do we think that it's okay to give him sloppiness? We make a demand of Jesus. We say, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross, and I believe what you did on the cross. I believe that your blood is efficacious. I believe that because he died on the cross, every sin that I've ever had, I mean every sin, every little sin that I've had, and I had plenty of them, every single one of them was paid for through his sacrifice on the cross. Hallelujah. And now I'm not walking according to my works. I don't define myself by my works. I define myself through his work, his finished work on the cross. Good news for me. I don't define myself by myself. I define myself by him and his finished work at the cross. Hallelujah. So now I'm clean, and I'm confident that I'm clean. What have I done? I've demanded excellence from the cross. I've put a demand of excellence onto Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. So then it's wrong for me not to put a demand of excellence from me as I serve him who died for me on the cross. You see? So whatever it is, don't cut corners and think, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's just a small little thing and no one's going to know. If your role is to clean the church, right? If you have volunteered to clean the church, then clean the church with excellence. I mean, really, clean it with excellence. When my job was cleaning the toilets in the church that I was at in London, I remember my job was to do that. I was very enthusiastic about that job. I wanted to do the job to the best of my ability. Why? Because I was doing it unto God. People didn't have to tell me to do things. They don't have to nag and say, oh, well, look, you haven't done this, you haven't done this. Well, why do you do this bit? Why don't you do this bit? And then people get all huffed, you know, and you should be grateful that I've done what I've done. You should be great. They should be grateful that I've done what I've done. They should be grateful for nothing. They should be grateful for nothing. You should be grateful to have the opportunity to do a service in God's church. Are you listening this morning? We're on point one. We're going to move through briskly, but I'm telling you the truth here. And I tell you, we should have that attitude. I'll tell you what it births. An attitude like that births excellence in ourselves. And when that births excellence in ourselves, that then permeates through every aspect of our life. What it does is it trains us for victory. It trains us for victory in whatever else we might do in life. So you see, I like the old adage, you know, and it's a popular one, but it's true. Attitude does determine altitude. And it's that attitude that we're talking about. Step number two for an excellence in ministry. Everyone say with me, I have a ministry. Let's say it again. I have a ministry. Do you know what your ministry is?
Yes.
Okay, good, good. If you're not sure, find out what your ministry is so that you know then exactly the areas that need and demand attention. And you can put yourselves into that. Have a singleness of purpose. If you're not sure, you can come and speak to me. What does it mean to have a singleness of purpose? It means to be single-minded and driven in one direction. If you drive a car without a destination in mind, well, you'll be zigzagging everywhere, won't you? You'll be driving around in circles. You're saying, where are we going? Well, I'm not sure, but I'm driving the car. I mean, it'd be a ridiculous thing. We're on a journey. No. Singleness of purpose. So, you know, when it comes to, for example, a conversation I had this week with regards to the new lights that we're having. We're having these new lights up here. We're going to get rid of these lights, and we're going to have lights up the top here, which are LEDs, and they will blanket flood the stage with any color you want. So it'll just, they're very powerful, and you'll just be able to have any color you want right across here, all the different colors. And we're having those, I think, installed this week. Tomorrow. But then on top of that, we're looking at cameras. So that'd be nice to have cameras now that'll give an excellent picture. And so you can have a nice picture recorded. There's nice lights, good lighting, a nice picture recorded. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that we have to do some research, look into cameras. The person who's involved with that now needs to look into cameras. Be looking into cameras, finding out what the best cameras are, talking to people who know about this, talking to people who do it. You say, well, it takes time. Yes, it takes time. It takes effort. Yes, it takes effort. But that's what an excellence of ministry is all about. It takes time and it takes effort. In fact, it takes our life. That's what it is. It's our life. Jesus says to us, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, you pick up your cross, that which you've been called to, and you follow me. And that means that sometimes we have to get rid of things that we like doing in our lives because we don't have time, because there's more important business that we need to be doing. It's a maturity, isn't it? It's saying, I'm not going to do this because I've now got to do this. This is more important. This is part of my calling. This is what I need to be investing my time in. This is a vital aspect of excellence in ministry and being single-minded about that. Just deciding that's what we've got to do. I remember, you know, when I was a singer, and I remember that day, 1996, Royal Variety Show, speaking with Tom Jones in his dressing room before the show and saying, Tom, did you always think you'd be a singer? He said, no. Well, you know what it's like. He said, it's a calling. He said, it's a calling. And as soon as he said that, I knew that I wasn't called to be a singer. I wasn't called to be, I was called, I knew what God had called me to do, to be a preacher. He'd called me to preach. But I wasn't pursuing that. I didn't want to pursue that. I liked the sort of, you know, the other life, really. But I knew that I had to pursue that, and I knew I had to have a singleness of purpose. So when you know what your ministry is, you have to pursue that with tenacity. And say, I'm going to make that thing happen, whatever it might be. And then God will back you. And don't have small thinking. You know, I said about the cameras, I said, listen, but they'd be expensive. So what? I mean, who are we serving here? We're serving the God Almighty of the universe? Or is he a small little guy like this that we may get on the phone sometime, maybe if we're lucky? Or is he the Almighty God of the universe? He's the Almighty God of the universe. We need to stretch up, believe, and say, look, I'm gonna pursue this with everything I've got. So that when someone looks at my life, they'll say, that person, you know, they're involved in that ministry. They have a ministry in that area. They're spending their life, their energy in the single-mindedness of that pursuit. And there's excellence there. And they're believing God to provide. You know, what I found is that if you pursue God's purpose and God's plan, God backs it, you know. God will back it. If it's our dreams and our carnality, well, you know, then there's going to be shortage. But if it's his, he backs his plans. He'll back us. He's with us. And really, you know, the single-mindedness of purpose in the final degree is to serve people. Amen. That's really what it is. It's not self-service, it's serving others. And that really is the emphasis for the Christian ministry. That's why next week, I feel quite privileged and happy about going to collect some litter. I mean, it may sound strange, but I think that it's a privilege to do it. Because why? Well, because we're serving some people. Because some people at the end of, this is a problem for some people, and some people at the end of that time are going to be very happy that we went out and we served them in the community and we did that. And it's such a small thing. But it's a big thing to them. It's service to them. And so serving people is a vital part of our ministry. It's to meet the needs of people. In doing that, we're going to live by faith. Because, in fact, you know, that's the only way we're ever going to meet their needs. I can't meet someone's needs with my own resources. I've got to exercise faith for that. Step number 3 is follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, the path to excellence in life and ministry is always the same. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Let's face it, your mind likes to do a lot of its own planning. But if you lean on your own understanding, it's only a matter of time before you fall flat. God has called you to a particular ministry, and he fully intends to lead you in excellence, success, and a life beyond what you could ever imagine on your own. And that's why he's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to keep us on the path of excellence. I was sharing the other day about on Friday night I was somewhere speaking, and I was sharing with them about the adventures of faith when you're being led by the Holy Spirit. It's strange what happens sometimes. You know, we wanted the leading of the Holy Spirit when we were looking for another building. We were looking for another building, and we were looking at industrial-type buildings. Well, an industrial building, you know, we visited a few of them. Well, I think it was 2, and it didn't work out. When we were in Wynn Stanley, we were visiting those places and praying, because we sensed that God wanted to move us. So we were looking at places, nothing was working out, and in the end, I just went to God and just said, "Lord, what is it, Lord? What do you want for us? You know, you have to lead us, Lord. You have to, you know, it's boring going around on your own trying to figure things out and sort it. I give it over to you, Lord. What do you want us to do?" And do you know what the Lord had us do? Sometimes, you know, the leading of the Holy Spirit it takes you on a path of obedience, that it's a surprise. He said, "Take up the stained carpet." I had a picture of the stained carpet that we had in the old church. It was very stained, dirty. He said, "Take the carpet up and polish the parquet floor." I said, "What? Why would we want to do that? We want to move, Lord. We want to..." But obedience, you know, is better than sacrifice. And we have to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us in things that we can't think of doing on our own. His leading is a vital aspect of this walk, this excellence of ministry. As soon as we did that, and the floor was polished, and the floor was stained, someone came up to me and said, if ever you want to sell that church building, let me know, I'll buy it. I was just walking in Costco. And then shortly after, Pastor Beverly came to me. She said, you know, there's a building for sale. It's just on Church Street in Oral. And then I got thinking about this man. I got thinking about the building. And I just thought, and everything just followed and rolled and just locked in. Do you think that would have happened if we hadn't followed the leading of the Holy Spirit? I don't think so. I think the Lord wants to see if we're listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's important that we listen. And sometimes it goes right against human sensory knowledge. It's the same thing recently. We had John Gorn here, didn't we? And he told us of that guitar that he had on the album cover. And the guitar on the album cover, the expensive guitar, God asked him to sew that guitar into someone's life. He sewed this unique guitar, this copy of the unique guitar, into someone's life, gave it to them, and it was his guitar that he used for ministry. So it was a big thing for him. And within a few weeks, he receives not that replica guitar, but the exact looking guitar, but it's the original one, the one that's worth thousands of pounds. And it's the leading of the Holy Spirit. So you have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me this morning?
Yes.
Are there ways that we're thinking we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit now? You know, for our lives. What's he saying to you this morning about the ministry that God's given you? You know, we were thinking of the cafe there. There's a cafe there. We have teas and coffees afterwards in the building. I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be nice if there was someone who wanted to run the cafe right throughout the week, during the week? I was thinking it's going to be nice. We have a little extension built on it. We have toilets built on the back of it. Nice little orangery built on the side sort of thing. Make it, you know, and have it separate from that part of the building so it's its own place. But have it as a cafe during the week. I think that'd be such a nice thing, 5 days a week. Have people coming in there, have teas, coffees. It would be a place of fellowship. People, a nice place for people to meet. Now, I wonder if there's someone in the church or someone that we know of who could run with that as a vision. Someone would say, yes, you know, I could do that. I'd like to do that. Is there a trigger going off in someone? Have a think, have a pray. And let us know. Because, you know, that would be an exciting opportunity, I think. You see, how it works in the kingdom is God has deposited in us ideas. He's given us opportunities. And we need to run with those. We need to invest in that, run with that, and run with excellence. And then we see those things being birthed into our lives. Number four, this is important, as they all are, strip away the things of the world. Excellence in ministry requires an excellent spirit in every area. This includes the conduct of those who work with you in the ministry, as well as the operations of your place in ministry. For example, if your ministry is in your home, determine to have a home that is run with excellence. This means your home will be neat and clean. It will run in an organized way, and your children will be well behaved. More importantly, you must first determine to have an excellence in your own conduct. The same is true if you're the pastor of the church. Every part of your church should operate with excellence. It isn't right to demand excellence from people if you don't demand excellence of yourself first. In your ministry, if it's in the secular field, the same is true. Have excellence. Expect excellence in dealing with your business, in your own conduct. You can't live sloppy and have an excellent ministry. Amen? How can you achieve this? Strip away the things of the world. We're in the world, but not of it. So to have excellence in our ministries, we must strip away everything of the world from our lives until there's nothing left but the Word of God. We want the Word of God formulating our thinking. We said last week, didn't we? And we had notes for the Bible-ruled mind. It's the Bible-ruled mind that is the mind that has great achievements in this life. You know, you can't sit and watch television day and night and expect to have an excellent ministry. Break the habit. Jesus says the cares of the world will choke out the word. Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, be a good minister of Jesus Christ in 1 Timothy 4:6. Be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. We can't feed off the TV and expect to have our, you know, direction in line with the word, can we? But you know, the television is really useful these days. If you go on the YouTube, you can watch, as I have been doing, sermons after sermons after sermons, and just filling my mind with those things, you know. And sometimes I do my work and I have something on the background there, or sometimes I just enjoy just listening to that sermon. Isn't it something that today we can listen to sermons from all over the world? We can listen to Kenneth Hagin was preaching in 1995 or 96, or we could listen to those ministers that have really paved the way, you know, and are doing some tremendous things. I like listening to Kenneth Copeland. I enjoy listening to Kenneth Copeland because I find in him a man of strength and determined to believe the word, strong in his belief in the word. I like that man, Jesse Duplantis. I can just put him on. I can listen to him just speaking. I can just put the thing on, and there it is. Well, that's a tool for us to use. I like Bill Winston. Creflo Dollar. Excellent preaching. Just available to us. I heard of Jerry Seville. Jerry Seville was a car mechanic. He ran his father's car business. And he said that with regards to this sort of thing, he said, I knew that God was calling me for excellence of ministry. So he said, what I did was, he said, I decided that I was going to get up in the morning and I was going to study the word an hour every morning. He said, so I made this big decision and I told my wife and I told the children, I said, I'm going to get up every morning, I want to study the word for an hour. He said, I got up in the morning, he said, and the first day, he said, I studied it. He said, I got about 50 minutes and I fell asleep a little bit. He said, but, you know, it was okay. I did 50 minutes. I thought I'll work my way up. He said, the next day, he said, he got to about half an hour and he found himself, he was so tired. He was just fell asleep. Well, he did half an hour. And then the next day, he said it was about the same, about half an hour. He just kept on falling asleep. But he was frustrated with himself. He thought, hold on, I said that I would give an hour. And he kept on remembering Jesus' words, couldn't you pray for at least just an hour? Just pray for an hour. He thought, I couldn't study it for an hour. He said, I just kept falling asleep. He said, and I just thought, this is so wrong. He said, in the end, he said, because he said I demanded excellence for myself, he said, what I did was, he said, I ended up standing on the bath. He thought, you flesh. He said, you know, the scriptures talks about buffeting the body. He said, you're not going to fall asleep now, are you? He stood an hour on the bath. And he said, right, today I'll do an hour because I'm not moving until the hour's over. I'm going to study the word for an hour. And what he did was that disciplined him then to get into studying an hour every morning. What does this speak of? It speaks of a determination for excellence. It's like putting a bit in the horse's mouth. And that bit helps to turn the creature. After a while, you don't need it. But to start off with, sometimes there's a bit that's needed. Well, he's calling us for this excellence of ministry. And sometimes we may need to put a bit in our own mouths. Step number 5, look to the word of God day and night. We already know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So to achieve excellence in ministry, look to the Word of God day and night. You know, that's the key, to look to the Scriptures, to have a Scripture-formed mind, not to have a sensory-formed mind, not to have a mind that's influenced by our friends even, or our family members, but to have a mind that is shaped by the Word of God. Now, that takes a fight. You have to say to yourself, I'm not going to be influenced by those things. I'm going to put myself in position to have a mind orientated to the Word of God. Proverbs 4:20, from verse 20 says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Do not lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to your whole body. You know, lift up the Word above everything else. Oh, I'm so happy, honestly. I decided to make a decision that the Word of God was going to be my the highest authority in my life. I'm so happy that I did that. And to have an excellence of ministry and say, no, I'm going to have a Bible-ruled mind. Now, it's a fight every day. It is a fight every day. Every day we are going to say, I have to say this. You know, because the natural being wants to drift other ways. But we say, no, I'm going to live this way. This is the thing that I'm going to have. This is how I'm going to live my life. And I'm going to receive from God. I'm going to be all that God's called me to be. I'm going to do all that God's called me to do. You know, you'll stick out a long way in this society when you have the Word of God as your rule for life. This society is a long way from having the Word of God as its rule for life. But as we do that, the Lord honors that. People who said, I'm going to live by the Word, I'm going to be people of the Word. It's the Word of faith that we preach. It's the Word of faith that we believe. We're going to live this way. They have authority. The prayers count. There's authority in that. Think of Jerry Seville again, and he was recently, you know, he had, his family said to him, oh, go into hospital and have a checkup. So he went to the hospital, he had a checkup. And they said, oh, you need a little operation, you know, you need this operation. So they convinced him to have the operation, so he has the operation, and he had a stroke in the operation. And so now his body is twisted up like this, and he's paralyzed on one side. And the doctor calls the family in and says, look, I'm so sorry, but he's paralyzed, and he's going to be paralyzed the rest of his life. And, you know, but I mean, you can have physiotherapy that can help somewhat. You can do various things that'll ease the physical difficulties that he's going to have. But he's going to be paralyzed the rest of his life now. So the family said to the doctor, no, he's not. Well, that takes some audacity, doesn't it? The doctor is the authority. The doctor's been doing this for years. The doctor's been trained medically. The doctor has studied for years. He's had lots of patients. He understands all about the mechanics of the physicality of what's happened here. And so he's made his announcement. He's proclaimed that he's going to have this the rest of his life. You don't know anything about it. You don't know anything. You've not studied it. You've not studied it at all. You don't know anything about the physical body. And you're just speaking from a place of ignorance regarding the medical condition. Yes, regarding the medical condition, but not a place of ignorance regarding the higher authority, which is the Word of God. Because the Word of God says all things are possible. The Word of God says, speak to your mountain. Faith as big as a mustard seed can move the mountain. Well, what was the mountain? Well, it was the stroke that twisted his body up and caused him to be paralyzed. So, you see, the training that they had had over many years, this training that they had in the Word, in putting the Word first place, in determining to live by the Word, and living like this for year after year after year after year, and the fact that he pushed in past the bathroom situation. He pushed in past that he couldn't study for an hour. He made a decision to study for an hour. He couldn't keep up with that decision, but he didn't give up. What he did was he stood on the edge of the bath. Now, he stood on the edge of the bath 50 years ago. It was 50 years ago he did that. But when he stood on the edge of the bath 50 years ago and said, I'm going to study this word. I'm going to study this for an hour today. It proved to be a very good decision. Because 50 years later, all his family now study and live by the Word of God. And so his wife lives and studies by the Word of God. His daughters study and live by the Word of God. And when the surgeon came up and said he's going to be living this way, the doctor comes up and says he's going to be paralyzed the rest of his life. He's got that story. There's nothing you can do about it. Very sorry, but try a bit of physio. It may help a little bit. When they were given that news, they said no, because they knew other information. They had a higher quality of information based on a higher authority. We're not talking about a doctor now. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who says, listen, if you've got faith as big as a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and move the thing. And that's what they were basing their decision on. And they based their decision on that. And the daughters went up and they said, well, thank you, but that's not going to happen to our dad. That's not going to happen. That's not what his portion is in life. No, he's going to be well in Jesus' name. And of course, you know the doctor. Yeah, well, he's a religious. Yeah. Well, of course he's going to say that. He knows nothing about it. He knows nothing about it. Listen, the doctor, okay, the specialist, whatever you're going to, sit down, little child. Sit down and learn from something of a higher authority. Take your place and take your note and listen to people who have been studying the Word of God and have this higher authority in their lives. I'm so happy to say that that lovely man, Jerry, is now fully free of any result of that stroke. It has no result on him at all now. He's preaching. This year, he's traveling all over the world, preaching the gospel, free, and just preaching as ever, communicating, still has his television program, just beautiful. But you see, my friends, this is the importance of what we're saying this morning. This is not just a little sermon where we can have little six little points and, oh, okay, yeah, another sermon this week. No! This is something that'll change our lives and change our families' lives and our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives, our friends' lives. This can affect everyone that we come in contact with if we allow ourselves to be the instruments of change into those people's lives. That's a decision that we've got to make. That's the quality decision that a ministry of excellence demands. It's a quality decision that counts. And it's saying, I make a decision to live this way, a Bible-ruled mind. That's what he's called us to. It's a beautiful calling that we have, and it's exciting. I mean, it is exciting to walk with God. All things are possible. Anything can happen. I mean, we can do all things. And if he calls us to it, we can do that in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you this, the more steps we take along that road, the more he calls us to. And it's going to get interesting, this journey that we're on. Amen? As a follow-on and a good follow-on and a place to end here, just to say, step number 6, spend time fasting. And, you know, when spending time fasting, what it does is it puts us in a place where we, you know, some people want to spend time fasting. Actually, what they want to do is lose weight. Don't confuse the two, please. No. No, spiritual fasting is about spending time in prayer and giving over to the things of God. Spending time in prayer, yielding to God, yielding to his word. There is power in that. Tremendous power. You know, there's a man who got hold of Kenneth Copeland's books, The Laws of Prosperity, 1974 book, a man called Oyedepo, an African man, lives just outside of Nigeria. And he got hold of that book, and he said, well, it's biblical, I believe this. He was an architect, and he said, I'm going to live according to this. Well, you know, that man now has built the world's biggest church. Spends a lot of time in prayer and fasting. And a lot of time in fasting, the ideas come. Built the 50,000-seater church just outside of Lagos there. And in fact, bought a piece of land that was the land where the witch doctors and all those people would be, a piece of the forest. And just cut a whole chunk out of the forest. And now that is dedicated to a university. The biggest church ever built on planet Earth, a hospital, various colleges with state-of-the-art educational facilities. I mean, it's a phenomenal testimony. And all African money, all from Africa. Well, the patronizing people in the West would say, well, how can you do that? Well, I'll tell you how you can do it. What we're talking about this morning applies to anyone from anywhere on planet Earth. This is the law of God, and it's a higher law than the laws of planet Earth. It's not dependent on the resources of Earth. This is based on the resources of heaven. And so anyone who decides to live according to these resources will achieve what God's calling them to achieve. If they yield, they'll go a very, very long way. So all things are possible. And I think that some of the times, you know, the religion of Christianity, this is why I don't like the religion of Christianity so much, it has robbed people of their dreams. And I sense, even as we close this morning, it's time for us to dream, you know. And maybe God gave you a dream for your life. Maybe God gave you desires and a dream for your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. That if there's something living in you that wants to be birthed out of you, trust God. Go to God with it. Maybe God put that thing in you. And because you're around naysayers, people who don't believe, people who haven't stretched their faith, they may have robbed you, or at least They may have been an instrument to try and rob you of that thing. But this morning, God is saying, listen, all things are possible. Only believe. And so take it back. Take that dream that God put in your heart back. Take it back and say, I'm going to receive that. I'm going to run with that. I'm going to see what God's going to do. It all starts with having a ministry of excellence and saying, I will be excellent in everything I do. Every detail that I do, I'm going to have an excellence about it. Brothers and sisters, we could, there's so much more really. I just have breezed through those points so quickly this morning. Really, we could have taken several Sundays on each one really, but I've breezed through them quickly because I wanted you to have those 6 points, read them and think on it and pray about it this week and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Let's stand, shall we, as we close.